morning. This is, I think, October the 26th, isn't it? 1955, 4th London ACC. The talk I gave you yesterday really did not intimately concern engrams. It concerned phenomena. Handling of, relay of. You should know that the introduction of new phenomena into the life of an individual is accompanied by one of two manifestations. The unstabling of him or the stabilizing of him. You bring about, by the introduction of new phenomena, an instability or a stability, depending on how you introduce it to the individual. Now, if an auditor were to take a preclear and start running the somatic strip in a new and startling phenomena, it is highly possible that the preclear would not be able to integrate this with his life. And being unable to integrate it, would then feel unstable. He would become more confused than before, even though we had eradicated, perhaps, the source of one of his major ills or difficulties. You see how this is? We could suddenly introduce him to new phenomena, and he would be less well than before, even though, by introducing him to new phenomena, we eradicated one of his chief and basic worries. Follow this? The handling of engrams, then, and the handling of phenomena in the mind should be done with a certain gentleness as far as the preclear is concerned, just from a standpoint of knowledge or wisdom. The individual can assimilate knowledge without an unstabilizing effect only if he is capable of integrating it into his existing sphere of reference. I'll give you a case in point. We take, let us say, a person who has been practicing, let's say chiropractic. And he has certain basic tenets on which he bases any successes which he has had. Now, that he hasn't had a 100% success tells him already that there is missing data, whether he likes it or not. If he did not recognize this, he actually would not be sane. Now, in the effort to assist himself in a business way, he may constantly and continually inform the public that he is all out and in beautiful condition and that he gets results every time. This is a business concern. It's only when he himself believes this, contrary to observable evidence, that he would be considered to be at least fairly neurotic. Therefore, he would be normally aware of the fact that he has some missing links in his rationale. So you see, he's aware of this. Now, this will make a certain vacuum, you might say, you see, where he is for data which you might care to give him. Now, the making of this vacuum was of his own doing. That is to say, he looked at life and he found certain answers given to him by his own profession, by life at large. And why did he have to look for this information in the first place? He looked for this information for one reason only. He had not known, you might say, to be grammatical, he had not known the amount of information which he already ought to have had. We take an untrained witch doctor, and we discover very often in his primitive state a tremendously advanced state of knowingness. He has just never been asked to not know a tremendous quantity of material about healing, and therefore he sort of knows it instinctively. And he could not articulate it, he has never put it into words, but he has a feel, an instinct. That is, by the way, the anatomy of this intuitive our instinctive healing attitude. You see, that is the source of it. An individual has simply never done a large and arduous not-know on the subject of the mind. or the subject of the body, or the subject of something else. You see this? He's just never done this. And as a result, he sort of feels that his state of beingness can monitor or is monitored by certain influences, and he doesn't articulate them, but he has a very good idea of what's going on. You see, he is above syllables in his operation, and so we call that instinctive or intuitive or a sort of a natural knowingness, you see. And it simply exists unless you have not noted. This is very easy to rehabilitate. Any auditor, as he goes along under modern auditing, should rehabilitate this instinct rather easily. It shouldn't be too hard for him to do this. But that is that instinct. All right, let us take this unfeltness and let us discover that an individual seized upon some incorrect datum as his stable datum. Now let us take the stable datum on which chiropractic operates. Now, we're just taking up chiropractic not because we're interested at this moment in healing, but because we can very easily epitomize the effort and action of a preclair in this wise. It's based upon the datum that a body given a chance will get well. See, that is, I think, Palmer's primary tenet. Just given a chance, the body will get well. Lay off of it, in other words, and it will resurge one way or the other. That's not a correct datum, you see. Given a chance, it will follow its natural mechanisms of survival. It will kill itself off as an extant form and pick up or build another form, you see, which is better or better adapted to the environment in which it's trying to survive. That is the fact of the case, evidently. In other words, it solves the problem of survival very often by knocking off the extant mock-up. So a chiropractor does this. He suddenly takes the stress off of the body that it's that moment undergoing, and he then expects it to resurge if it's adjusted, or we've adjusted its nerve centers or something of the sort. You see that? And off we come. And the fella goes and dies. See that? Or we straighten the body out so it can think and it gets sick. Now, there's another datum there, which is of very great interest to us, since none of us are very interested in or studied in chiropractic, or few of us are. So, therefore, it would be of interest to us to look at this as a parallel, you see, a parallel which has in it some unknowns or some not quite true or not quite totally correct or embracive stable data, all right? And there's some unknowns sitting in there then, you see? Now, immediately that he takes the stress off of the body and permits it more or less to adjust itself and to stabilize, immediately that this occurs, the fellow worsens and dies. The body is being permitted to do exactly what it should do in order to survive, but he does not interpret it this way. He is going on an enforced survival current organism, which is a fatal error in healing. If you make this error all the time, you, of course, are causing people to survive against any choice at all, and you have removed one of the principal two choices. There are two choices, both of which are survival choices, but they are opposites. And one is survive, and the other is succumb. You can do either one. Now, if we just make it impossible for anybody to choose to succumb at any time, we will eventually arrive in the interesting position of enforced survival. And a society which is dramatizing full-out enforced survival is a very, very interesting place not to live in. There have been societies on the whole trek which had advanced surgery and healing up to such a point that a guy'd go out in battle and he'd be all shot to pieces. You see, there wouldn't be enough left of this mock-up to worry about. And the surgeons and the neurosurgeons and the rest of the boys would fix him up so that he was functional for a new post. You know, he's now going to conduct a desk without legs and maybe without any genitals and, you know. This is going to be life, you see. He has to wheel himself up and down corridors and so forth, and the society is in a sufficiently good state that can utilize the services of everybody around. It's worked out ways and means to assist everybody. And what do we get out of this? Well, he has a nervous breakdown of one kind or another working at the desk and pushing his wheelchair around, so they put him to sorting envelopes. His one answer to this is to go mad. Do you see this? His one answer of enforced survival is to go mad. And there is where we have gotten all the insanity which is current with this society today. So you see, this is not an unimportant datum. When an individual is enforcedly made to survive, and when at no time is he ever in any wise permitted to fail or succumb in any way, the end result is an inability to survive and a definite inability to succumb, which takes away the two most basic choices of which he is capable. Now, that choice, one choice on the two basic data, and we get this fantastic thing, insanity. That is his final answer. Insanity is an answer another way. You have hurt me enough. You have now made me irrational. Not even my protests or praise would be of any value to you, because I am no longer a rational being. I have departed into the never-never land of insanity. This is the real statement that is being made as we see it by the insane. Now, we know this must be very close to the statement, but we do not buy this 1,000% for this reason, is we have not treated any insane from this viewpoint. You see, this is sound theory, but in view of the fact that our business is not with the insane, we have not had any opportunity to use this. Nevertheless, the theory is backed up by conduct in our midst, and we discover that the aberration of an individual is very often pursuant from a moment when he felt it was very, very best. The very best thing he could do was to succumb, and he has never changed his mind. He's never undecided that thing, you see. Now, a sane person has simply decided to live again. At any time, you could decide to live again. At any time, you could decide to die. These are two powerful choices. Follow me? Well, now, this basic rationale that I'm telling you here actually probes below the stable datum of the chiropractor. See, it probes below that. The chiropractor makes somebody well, makes him so his back doesn't hurt, and the fellow starts to spin. See, this does happen. You know, he patches him up. He makes him feel better, he thinks, and he says, I've done a good job about this now, and the next thing he knows, this person is counting the spiders on the wall, or some odd thing is occurring. You see? He is taken away by exterior manipulation, and without consulting the choices in the matter, one of the triumphs of the individual. This individual is trying to succumb, so therefore he has a triumph. He has accomplished something. He has pressed this body down further from the conviction that this body is not now fitted for the environment in which it discovers itself. Now, if it's not now fitted for it, what do we do with it? We jettison it, and we hit the track again and build another one which is better. Now, this is evidently the philosophy of the GE. See, it's evidently the philosophy. At least it seems to work this way. All right. Now, Here we have, then, a stable datum, which says a body, permitted to, will get well. Ooh, now do you see the gulf between that stable datum and the phenomena which will be observed? Get this. We have an incorrect stable datum, or a half stable datum. It's not the whole thing, and we're going to get, as a result of this, a fantastic thing. We're going to get all manner of unpredictable phenomena. Things are going to occur which this chiropractor will have no explanation for at all. He goes doggedly on his way, saying the body will get well if it's permitted to do so. And he makes this old lady well as far as the physical body is concerned. She feels shakier. She feels rockier. She is less happy about life. Well, you say, look here, doesn't she feel better physically? She certainly should then feel happier. And we have the other structural error. There's another error as a stable datum sitting there, which will produce more unpredictable phenomena. And this is a very simple one. It simply says that the structure monitors the function or the thinkingness of the person. Now, that isn't really understood by the chiropractor. That's really not a stable datum. It is just something which is in the environment around him. In this, quote, modern world, unquote, we have decided that structure monitors function. And if we decide this, then we're going to inject into the entire field of healing, just for one thing, to say nothing of politics and science. These things also inject into politics and science with a production of phenomena which is so far beyond the reach of the people who are trying to play that game that they muff it continually. Structure monitors function. Now, let us take this, and this is an unseen or an unfelt datum as far as the chiropractor is concerned. He has never asked himself this question. And yet he has assumed it, hasn't he? When he said, well, I'll take the duress off the body, and then the person should be happier. Oh, no. Not only has he upset this one side of it, the body was on a succumb line, a decision to succumb is still extant, and the person is trying to go by the boards. That choice is now upset. He has put this person on an enforced survival. This person cannot, by the way, be responsible for throwing that mock up under a train. He's got to do it slowly and quietly and little by little and sort of say, well, it's actually the way life is. You see, that's what he's got to say. He's got to say, now, you see, it's just old age and I'm just falling to pieces. I'm not tearing this body to pieces because that's not done, you see. There already is an extant enforced survival in the society. All right, we have this other thing, structure monitors function. Now, you take this chiropractor, and he has come to believe this. He feels it. He has never articulated it. It's not to him an observable thing because it's just everybody knows, you see. This is one of those everybody knows stable data. And this is not just the chiropractor alone. A lot of other activities in society. In politics today, they believe this. And they make more stupid blunders. See? But in the field of healing, we would, by injecting this as a stable datum, only if it were not true, get this interesting resulting phenomenon. Only if it were not true, would we come up against unpredictable reaction to drugs. We give them drug A, drug B, and drug C, and A, B, and C are all being given to the same person, and on person one, they produce this effect, that effect, and other effects. So we immediately say, well, then on person two, they should produce these effects. Same structure, you understand. Same biochemical structure. They're suffering from the same ill. Therefore, we drugs A, B, C. And A produces a different reaction. B produces a different reaction than B on this person. And C produces a slightly different reaction. Ooh, this is a wild variable. Why? You see? Now we take a third person, and we may get the same reactions on A as in person one, but not B and C. Let me assure you, this is a biochemical nightmare. The administration of various drugs, antibiotics, opiates, and so on, producing different results. People eventually will just say, this is just too much confusion. Entirely too much confusion. Opium is, you understand, is. You understand, opium is a soporific. Opium does put people to sleep, you see. But on person one, two, and three, opium is a stimulant to one, a depressant to two, and has no effect on three. In other words, they get upset. People get upset about this, and whereas they will find a person 1 to 5,000 in the society do receive a soporific effect, you might say, from opium, we may have the next 13 or 14 people, you see, as a stimulant. We may find a whole strata of society which isn't affected at all physiologically by the administration of opium. When I say physiological effect, I mean that as we, because I'm not trying to use any medical terminology here, because we're not really not talking in the field of medicine. We're just talking in the field of stable data. All right? We take all of these dock workers in Hong Kong and we investigate them. This experiment has been conducted to discover what is the detrimental effects of opium. What is detrimental about opium? And we discovered that about the only thing wrong with these fellows is that they're, some of them are going without food because their stomachs are anesthetized, you see. And we immediately conclude from this that opium then is not particularly harmful to a human being, and we give it to a great many white men, and it caves a lot of them in and causes all kinds of oddities. It actually depresses a great many of them physiologically in other ways. Oh, this is a random data. We could say, well, and this is the difference between the Chinese and the white man. You see? Except as we carry on the experiment amongst various classes of white men, we get different reactions to opium. Then we try to answer this question. This is all I'm getting toward. We say, is opium a dangerous drug or isn't it? And the classes of data which we have, the data on the classes which we have and so on, is here and there contradictory. But a person has to make a decision. Maybe the government wants to know this. And here are some medical doctors who are being asked this question, and they just have to solve this. They have to say it is not or it is. Well, what do? They make the statement which is least likely to be harmful to the race, and they say it is. See? It probably is more harmful than otherwise and therefore should be regulated in some fashion. Maybe this is right and maybe it's wrong, but who would know? Where is the exact decision to be found? How could they make the exact decision? Is there a way they could do so? Where does all this complexity stem? From where does it stem? Where do we discover the original, not error, but where do we discover the original stable datum which made some of this phenomena unpredictable? We discover it, interestingly enough, under this heading, structure monitors function. Now, nobody anywhere along the line has really come up and beat the drum for this datum. It is simply something that has grown. We see that by mending arms, legs, regulating blood flow in some fashion, giving people rest and so on, we do things for them mentally. They feel better, in other words. And so we fall into this just as practice goes on along the years, we just fall into this datum. No villain has ever come up and stated this stable datum. He's never really stated it. I don't think you could find anywhere on the track a healing authority who stated originally, you see, that structure monitors function, and therefore, in order to make people sane or in order to make people happy or better off or more cheerful All you have to do is change their structure and make them feel better or more well, and they will then be saner. See, no authority anywhere along the line has said this. Nobody has come up and beat the drum for this fact. It is something which has grown up through the years. It's one of these untraceable, stable data which is accepted without much question. You see? It's perfectly true. You see, it's true that structure monitors function. Perfectly true. Nothing wrong with it at all, except that it is an incomplete statement. See, it's an incomplete datum. Therefore, it is not sufficiently basic a datum. We could say this: structure monitors function, except in those cases where function or mind interrupts the normal reaction of structure. You see? We'd have to say the whole statement, except in those cases. Now, the oddity is that modern medicine, other practices, chiropractic and so on, these gentlemen are already saying this. They're saying there is such an illness as psychosomatic ills. Now, they must have smelled this one out in a very interestingly intuitive fashion, because not even Freud could predictably release a psychic block and thereby put structure into a better shape predictably. It was a guess. So it couldn't have been a stable datum, and is not widely accepted as an entirely truthful datum, you see. Until such time as we could then produce evidence that whenever you had this type of an interruption, mental interruption, function would not be monitored by structure. Whenever type A, you might say, of mental block exists, then hormones administered to the individual will not produce a resurgence in his outlook on life. See? Type mental block A. See? When this type, B, is present, then, again, you cannot administer a drug or a hormone to structure in order to change function. See? Now we're starting to get a predictability. Why? Why? We're operating from a more basically pervasive stable datum. And that stable datum is more, it's truer. You see? Structure does monitor function and thinkingness and the mental outlook. And we say function, let's take thinkingness, mental outlook, and throw it in there too. When mental outlook and thinkingness, or function, is not suppressing a particular resurgence of structure. So that we could go about this any time we didn't have a block on that particular line. Now, the funny part of it is that medical men have come to realize this. This is not news to medicine. Not news. But the odd part of it is not articulated. It's not an articulated statement. It isn't broadly held because it has not been demonstrable. They know of psychosomatic medicine. They can suspect this. They can even accept it as a stable datum. But where's the proof? Where's the proof? The proof could only occur when we had some psychotherapeutic practice which permitted the individual to be relieved of a certain type of block whenever it was present, and if every individual that came up could be relieved of this particular block, why, then we would have a real trustworthy datum, you see? It'd be very trustworthy then. We could then say structure monitors function, except in this case when mental block A is present. In other words, hormones will work on an individual so long as he himself is not impeded thoroughly on the second dynamic. So you could say that. Hormones will work so long as this is not the case. But the only way we could prove it would be to take something like creative processing, which is relatively easy, it's fast to use on an assist, and we assist the individual in changing his mind on the subject of sex. We change his mind on the subject of sex, we bring him up into a sane look on the subject of sex, and then what do? We give him some hormones, and we find out they react. Before they didn't react, now they do react. Now we take 50 cases right in a row. all of whom have been discovered to be proof against the administration, let us say, of estrogen or testosterone, and we remove the psychic impasse, the experiences or the mental conditioning which has resulted in a debarment of use of hormones. We take these 50 cases one right after the other, and we give them an assist to knock out this block, and then we go right down the line, and we find that we are now able to administer the drug effectively. And then we could accept, then, this new stable datum. Structure monitors function, except in those cases where a psychic block impedes the use of structure for certain purposes. You see? All right. Therefore, we would have a more predictable result. Therefore, our chiropractor, for instance, recognizing this, would understand that he could have predicted what would have happened to some of his people. And he would know that by simply adjusting their spines or something of the sort, that they would get well if two things were not present. One, that the individual had decided to succumb and had never again decided to survive thereafter. See, then the person would not get well. Except in those cases where the present time problem all by itself was only this structural disability. You see, when just that was present, and we adjust that, why the fellow says, maybe I can live without all this pain and stress, you see. All right? So therefore, we have that degree of predictability, and now let's go over on the other one, and he would then realize that the person would get well as long as the person did not have an allergy, let us say, to straight spines. He should be able to realize that there could be just this, a mental block against a straight spine, or a mental block against an anesthetized body area. He should be able to realize this, that a person could have that block selectively. Are we making a little more sense on what I'm talking about on stable data? These are very, very basic, extremely basic data in a field of healing, and they are not really stated from the standpoint or trying to make a case for these fields. I'm trying to show you this as an auditor so that you will take a good look at your preclear. All right, your preclear is running on the fact that horses sleep in beds. This makes all kinds of unpredictability. His expectancy of what's going to happen now is shot full of holes. Whenever he sees a horse asleep that is not in a bed, he has not predicted it, and he will get upset. See that? Life will be a chaos on this one little point. Well, if we shove in a new datum on the preclear, it had better not be bluntly against the existing stable data. See, if it's bluntly against it, watch out, because you will confuse the entire subject around that point. Anything related to it around that point will get confused. Now, let us say that you moved in solidly on a medical doctor and proved to him conclusively, without any discussion of the alignment of his data at all, the structure did not monitor function. You gave him no further rationale. You never joined hands with him at all. See? And you just moved this in, and you proved to him that he was dead wrong on this subject. Do you know what would happen to him? You cave in and bring about a confusion, whether you wanted to or not, on the entire field of healing. See? I'm not saying that this individual would permit you to touch his stable data. I'm not saying that he would permit you to talk to him along this way. I'm not saying he would accept this proof. But I am saying that if you did charge through and produce sufficiently convincing evidence that function actually monitored structure, even though he himself never had articulated this matter, he has nevertheless been educated with all of his data aligned to that stable datum. And he would just go, nah. He would not only be blocked off from Scientology, he would be, as well, a trifle confused about healing. In other words, you would have harmed him and harmed healing to some degree and unstabilized a certain area of the world. This man has responsibilities. Now, if you did that, then you've done it wrong. See? That's wrong. That would be dead wrong. All right. But just now, as I was explaining this to you, the amplification of the existing stable datum, showing that it became more useful as a stable datum if we added to it its proper modifications, suddenly explains to him why he has gotten a number of unpredicted results, bad or good. He adds these up, and a lot of unknowns in the bank go click, 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 whir, whir, click, click. See? Now, his command of medicine is stronger. You see? Because these unknowns are sitting right there, and they are like vacuums. They pull in all kinds of things on them. Speculation, speculation, figure, figure. Maybe Abbott has it. Maybe Park Davis. Maybe if I fed him Bovril, you know? This is a very uncomfortable frame of mind. The man walks out of the house. This little kid is ill. He says, these men have conscience. He walks about out of the house and, the kid's sick. He isn't making him well. Maybe if he did this, maybe if he did that, but there's something wrong here. And he himself, tired or upset or something like that, cannot put his finger on what is wrong. He is too, quote, confused, unquote. Why is he confused? Well, he's only confused in this particular wise because the kid is sick and he can't do anything for him. But this adds up to the unknown data in the bank. He could not get confused about that child's illness if he understood completely that little Johnny Jones was getting sick because little Johnny Jones was damn well determined not to survive in this life. Yet he will articulate this occasionally. He doesn't completely believe it. Once in a while, he didn't want to get well. Say, he just didn't want to live. He doesn't really believe that because he has no supportive evidence. He has never investigated this phenomenon, although he has no reason why somebody would want to succumb. If he goes along on the stable datum of one life all the time, he will run into all this unpredictable information. So little Johnny Jones kicks the bucket. Little Johnny Jones is done, he thinks. Anything connected with Johnny Jones is done. Not so. Johnny Jones evidently just goes up the track and makes another mock-up, see? And as a Thetan goes up and picks up another mock-up. In other words, he splits up this unity known as Johnny Jones, but he gets a more workable existence going. Fascinating. If you knew that, and knew that 100%, you'd sure stop worrying about Johnny Jones. You'd start worrying about his parents, see? And the effect this would have on them. But you would know something else. Function monitors structure. A disease must have an invitation. There must be an invitation card to a disease. It must be that the life of little Johnny Jones is not quite optimum. There must be a number of psychic blocks, you might say, on the subject of going on living. Just on that broad subject, there must be some. And they come from someplace. And it may be the way his parents treat him. And it may be the way he's doing in school or not doing in school. It may be some second dynamic peccadillo that has been foisted off on him outside the home. You see, there could be enormous numbers of things involved here. But whatever it is, he doesn't care to live. And so he has issued, just to that tiny degree, this invitation to death. And we get some of the factors cleared up about why diseases strike some and don't strike others. It's fantastic. A lot of the people didn't send out invitation cards, that's all. It's not that they're not afraid of it. It's just that they want to go on living, you see. And it may be that these diseases which turn up are real, factual. They have virus, have bacteria. They're all stretched out along the line. But it may be that a person has to be awfully bad off before he catches one. A person might have to be in terrible condition to get poliomyelitis. Now, let me give you a comparable datum, very comparable. It's just fantastic datum. But I have never treated a poliomyelitis case unless it had attempted abortion underlying the poliomyelitis. Now, I've treated an awful lot of poliomyelitis. And in this age of almost the poliomyelitis age in the United States, their cases are up 500 to 700% over last year, thanks to the publicity in the Salk vaccine. In other words, they're being assisted in the issuance of an invitation. But I have never treated one of these cases without revealing, not, you know, telling the preacher or anything, but without discovering in processing an attempted abortion underlying the polio. And I have never had a poliomyelitis case improve unless the relationships with the mother or the father have been improved. Now, it's an interesting series because there's an awful lot of cases there. In other words, this poliomyelitis may be simply the handy Jim Dandy little kid assister. This kid can't live unless he's a sympathetic object. Let's take that much succumb. If he's a sympathetic object, his parents will leave him alone. This kid is living in terror of his parents. The GE is in terror. He doesn't know what his parents may do to him again. Every accident he has, his father falls over him, his mother drops a plate on his head or something like this, is just another symptom to him of his approaching Armageddon. He is going to be slaughtered after a fight to the death with his parents. He's always more or less preparing for this, but he knows he can't stand up to it. You get the state of mind he's in. This kid gets sick. It may be that poliomyelitis is so weak an illness, it may be that it is so difficult for it to make any real effect that a little kid has to be in near psychotic condition to get it. This is just hazarding the situation. See? That's just a guess. What you'd have to do is conduct a survey out here. You'd have to go across a huge number of kids, and you'd have to find those kids in the lower sanity brackets, and then you'd have to tabulate these kids carefully as to their liability to polio. And without ever mentioning polio to them, their parents, or anything else, or telling anybody why you were doing the survey, you would just have to chalk it down. The least sane would be the most likely. Well, what we mean by the least sane, those that had the worst relationships with their fathers and mothers, we would chalk up as possibilities on polio, and then we would wait for 4 or 5 years and find out if we were right. My guess on this, with the experience we've already had, that we would discover that these were the polio victims. Well, we take a new look here at disease prevention. But remember, we have done this really without upsetting anybody's basic data. Nobody is defending these basic data against additive or monitoring data. See? Nobody is defending the stable datum, just as I've shown you here. These various stable datum I've mentioned, structure monitors function. See? The body will get well if left to its own devices. Nobody's defending them. They're not being defended because they are not under attack. Unless you attack them, at which time they will be defended. A person has to defend those particular data or have the whole bank collapse on him. And by defending them, he weakens them. Now, do you see this? Well, let's take this horse asleep in beds in the pre-clear. You attack that stable datum, and you wind him up in some stable in the spin bin. You see, we attack it, and we unstabilize the whole sphere and throw it into confusion. All right. How, then, could you, on a purely educational level, process a preclear? Now, you know all about engrams. You know you could run these things in and run them out. You know about locks. You know about overt act motivator sequences. You know all the various mechanical contrivances. You know about exteriorization and yo-yo effects. And you know all of this tremendously important phenomena which we have racked up over these last 5 years. And how would you go about handling horses sleeping in beds? Well, there is one, you might say, master method, which sits above all other methods as the most permissive and gentle method. No, now, Frank, actually has boiled down on processing to a point of where he gets people to study the axioms. Well, he's certainly hitting at commonly held stable data. But this stable data will jar up and go back into place again and jar up and reorient and get back into place, get upset and back into place, and finally will stabilize again itself. They're the underlying pins of life. If you studied them calmly and rationally out of your own desire to know them or something, that's all right. How would you go at it a little more gently? Let's take the fellow. Horses all sleep in beds. You would ask him to look over some of the principles. You would have a list of these, let us say, and you'd have him look over some of the principles or easier publications of Scientology, and you would say, which of these data could you use? Which of these data seem useful to you? Here's a great deal of information. Which one of these data would seem useful to you? He'd pick the one that fitted in closest to his frame of reference. It would be a light one, and he would rationalize it. See, he would take it apart and put it back together again and look it over. Now, I threw out something to some gentlemen who know very little of Scientology. Most of what they know of Scientology is parascientology. They've just heard it around. Now, I handed them this one. I said, there is a principle in Scientology which is interesting. You might find it of interest. And that is that a stable datum is necessary to the alignment of data. And that if we do not have a stable datum, we're liable to have an area of confusion. But if an individual has held a stable datum and has aligned much of his life on it, he will become very upset if that stable datum is moved aside or invalidated. I didn't give him an example. These gentlemen, very bright gentlemen, each one of them gave me an example, and all of them very interested. To each one, it had suddenly and quickly explained something. This mechanism had explained something. The mechanism itself had explained something. Well, here I had chosen a datum. It did not invalidate any of their datum because they didn't have any data on the stable datum. It was a sort of a felt proposition. They had an instinct for it, but no articulation, you see. And this all by itself suddenly explained, of all things, the current illness of the President of the United States to one. Explained that illness to him. Here's a man with a military code. He's gone along all these years living by this code. Just paraphrase what he said. And then he gets with all these politicos, politicians, and the politicians playing their game this way and that, and big business playing a rotten game this way and that. And he looks at all this. And he feels that much of his life has been in vain. He's invalidated. That's why the man is sick. His stable data was a military code and the honor and so forth that went with it. And he said, therefore, the man is ill. Now, he really knew by now, you see. He really knew that it was conviction in his voice. He was telling me. He informed me about this. And he really knew now why President Eisenhower was ill. That was for his benefit. Now, we don't know why President Eisenhower is ill. But this might be the explanation, very possibly is the explanation. But for him, it definitely was the explanation. And he had talked about this two or three times, and it was something that had been going kind of round and round in his mind. This whole situation was going round and round in his mind. He evidently couldn't quite understand how a man in that position could get ill. Voila! He now had it. He didn't mention it again. It cleared the computation. He stopped worrying about it. Now, completely aside from running engrams, completely aside from handling the mechanics, you then have in your possession a modus operandi and information which will align itself if you permit, power of choice with almost anything that exists. Should become interesting to you. You know, the most permissive way to do it would simply to be to list the simple truths and so forth of Scientology, and just these various things, one way or the other, state from the axioms, certain simplified statements, you know, and just make a list of them and say, now, you're a chiropractor. You've had a lot of experience in healing and so forth. Would you please look over? This is not to trap the man. This is to help him. Would you please look over this data and tell me which of it you feel from your experience is true? He would pick out one point and align that. He'd pick out another point and align that. He would reject another point, reject another point, reject another point, and pick out another point and align that. Then after he'd accepted several other points and got this rationalized, as a few days went by, he would probably come back to the first rejected point and receive that. Get the idea? You wouldn't be teaching him Scientology. You'd be making him sane. Here's an entirely different therapy. An entirely different therapy. It's simply as is confusion by letting people align their understandings with factors which bring order out of confusion. As simple as this. Mm-hmm. This doesn't put the auditor there in an auditor's chair. It puts him as a consultant or a teacher or an educator, you see. It puts him there in a different role. It really is not the role of the auditor. Only it certainly is the role of an auditor. He is clearing the bank. Here's another method. Now, engrams, mechanics, producing these various things are all very interesting. But remember that right at their same level of magnitude, this is, by the way, a process of comparable magnitude. You have this whole system of permissive selection. You let the individual receive data out of lists of data, not out of text, not out of written text, because he'll get confused, which he finds acceptable to him. And at the end of that, you would get a data clear. See, that's a different thing, too, by the way. You'd get a data clear. He would have thought his way through practically every problem he'd faced. It's a fabulous thing. He would be very, very well aligned then. Now, that is a comparable therapy. We all know that therapy. But it is something that just rides along with us. Good roads, good weather, the acceptance by medicine, the idea that structure monitors function. It's an observable, see? I mean, it's not anything we articulate or have articulated before. Yet we all knew that this therapy existed. Now, I'm articulating it for this reason. I have conceived a newer, more permissive way of making a data clear. See, it's a very gentle sort of a way. It's a very quiet sort of a way. And that is the only way you are ever going to clear anybody in the field of healing. Because they conceive their data to be of comparable magnitude to your data. And your data and their data are not of the same order. They are not data on the same subject, but they believe that it is. Well, if this data on Scientology is not data on the field of healing, then what is it? If it's really not healing data, then what is it? Well, I wish to point out to you that we're doing something very peculiar with it. If we can let somebody align his data on it, I'm not saying that we have every last stable datum in the entire universe, but we certainly have more than anybody else does. Well, all right, if we're to align stable data in this fashion, if we're to align data on existing stable data, we will never do it by presenting some center stable data to the individual and letting him build a new house. It'll simply invalidate the old house. There will be a conflict between these two houses. We had then better integrate the old house. If you're ever going to make any progress in the world of healing, I'm afraid it'll have to be done in that fashion. What data in this list would be acceptable to you in the realm of your experience? Remember, this individual does have experience. Remember, this experience is valuable. It's got holes in it simply because it hasn't completely aligned. And you might learn a whole new sphere of healing out of this very thing, this very fact. You might create a brand new healer, not a Scientologist. You see? He's not a Scientologist. He is, let us say, we don't care what, but he nevertheless is a new thing. He has this tremendous backlog of experience. He has abilities in this way and that. He has tremendous educational background. He's got all these things, and now all of a sudden he gets all that data aligned. You've got a formidable person. He's very well worth having in the society. Well, if this is the case, then what happens to the auditor? If you just outright created this new healer, what would happen to the auditor? What does this have to do with it? Well, it has an awful lot to do with it. Because I'm not sure that Scientology is a therapy. And never was. But I knew that it was therapeutic. It is a better therapy than things exist on a non-emergency basis. It is a therapy superior to an existing therapy that I know about on a non-emergency basis. Remember, Scientology will not, at this time, stop a person from bleeding to death in 3 minutes. If a person's arteries are pumping, you don't sit around down alongside of him and run an engram. You stop that artery, see? Which tells you immediately that we're monitoring function by handling structure. And we fall right straight back onto the medical stable datum. See? We have to do that until the Scientologist can take an artery pumping away and say, stop, and it stops. I'm afraid, on an emergency basis, that he has something to learn, right? See, we've still got something to learn. But the chap who is interested and intimate in that particular work may learn that datum for us. What then would Scientology be? Scientology, by its own name, is a science of sciences or a study of science. An aligner and articulator of science itself. And here we have a thing called science going rather mad dog in a modern world, completely advanced from the humanities. We find sciences completely out of pace one with another. We find them in a fantastic state of confusion with relationship to each other. We find chemistry and physics dealing with the same thing, basic matter, at wild disagreement with each other. We have enormous numbers of things which are antipathetic to each other in the world of science, and it may be that the mission of Scientology is to remove science from a causative factor in barbarism, its causation of barbarism, and change its mission entirely, and for the first time make science cause a civilization, not a bunch of gadgets run by madmen. And it very well may be that our mission is far higher than we have conceived it to be, and far more pervasive as far as the world is concerned. It does not take us out of the field of ability, behavior, improvement, so on. It doesn't take us out of that field at all. It leaves us in that field. But it gives us actually a brand new field. It gives us coordinator and the function of coordination and bringing into good ARC, all that man knows. Now, if everything man knew was at the service of civilization and not at the service of war, if everything that man knew was understandable, if these high specializations were not at all times busy trying to wipe man out, man gets so specialized in the atomic bomb he never looks at anything else. Why, it might be that Scientology is in the fortuitous position, and the world is fortuitous to that degree, of being able to coordinate and regulate the study of science in various ways and to stand as a crossroads. And maybe it would be the crossroads at which man would start to go up and stop going down if we did just this one fact. Start to monitor the study of science itself rather than to regulate or relegate all of our activities solely to one sphere, that of increasing ability or healing. Because we'd increase the ability of the whole world if we did that. And I think that's a worthwhile goal. Thank you.